You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, along with, Alec Medford. That's what it's going to have to turn into.
I like it.
And the famous Jacob Ray. That's just the order that it's going to have to go for now. Right now, we're going to do some NFL overreaction or reality. I've been thinking about this for a while. I know the Cowboys seem to care a lot. Overreaction or reality? The Cowboys finishing with a non-losing record means something to you?
Overreaction? Yeah. To me, it doesn't, because I don't show up to the Star every day, and I don't put on the pads, and I don't sit in the meetings, and I don't have a career to play for. I just talk about other people's careers and hope not to offend anybody in the process. I don't care as a fan. I don't think any fan should care. Because as a fan, you want your team to be good. You want your team to improve. How do you improve when you cannot make the playoffs? You improve your draft position to get yourself a more talented player, theoretically, on your team next season. That is the ultimate way. Now, I do enjoy seeing success with this team as well. So I'm not mad if they win this game. I'm not going to be upset. I am going to say, well, it's kind of too little, too late, and too pointless for my taste, but it is cool to see the team thrive and to see everybody happy. And I'll say selfishly, interviewing Steven and Jerry is a lot nicer after a win.
Right.
It is a lot easier, and you can kind of ask the tougher questions because they're in a better mood, you know?
And they'll give you a real answer.
Exactly. I like everything. Like, man, Will was getting some gold out of Jerry on Friday last week because he straight up asked him about the scheme and stuff. And he was like, oh, no, don't let my excitement about this win deter you from the fact that I hate everything about this defense. I'm exaggerating. But he blatantly said, no, I'm still upset with a lot of things about this team. It's just nice to win. It's nice to smile.
Right. Jacob, NFL overreaction or reality? Cowboys finishing with a non-losing record means something to you.
I'm going to say overreaction as well. You know, being a Bears fan over the last 3 years, I've kind of like adopted the theory that if you're not making the playoffs, you're trying to get the highest draft pick possible and improve your team. And I think it'll be fun if you're a Cowboys fan to watch them close the season strong. But, I mean, by the time March comes around, that win over the Giants is not going to mean anything to you.
Yeah.
So I think when it comes to breaking down draft stuff over this offseason, I think you're going to be a lot happier if you lose this game this upcoming Sunday as opposed to if you win it.
Well, I wish you wouldn't have mentioned that you were a Bears fan yet, because that's going to tip off potential bias for this next question. But because of that, I will start with you, Jacob. Overreaction or reality? Jordan Love is an actual franchise quarterback.
I'll go reality. I think he's a very good player. I think PFF has him ranked as the number 4 quarterback in the NFL. Look, whenever he's facing a team like the Bears who can't get a pass rush, he's a really good player. But it's a matter of what he can do in big moments. And we saw him in the first game against the Bears fall apart in that second half and allow them to come all the way back. But, yeah, I'd be remiss if I said he wasn't a good quarterback, and I'm scared to face him in the playoffs.
Although you have to point out Caleb Williams won a division title before Jordan Love.
He did. I tweeted that.
Alec, what say you?
I will say reality. He is, but he is the Packers franchise quarterback. And I say that because I think he is a Matt LaFleur special. Not to say that he would be bad on any other team. I just think that his skill set and the way that he's wired to make his reads and his off-schedule plays, it all feels like that's stuff that was taught to him.
Right.
And he was very raw coming out of college, and that's why, obviously, when you have Aaron Rodgers out there too, he wasn't playing when he first got here, but the development helped. So I do think that he is a franchise quarterback because he landed in the perfect situation to evolve into that. Now, had that been a different situation and he was forced into it year one, I don't think he's as good as he is, because I think he really did need the experience of, let me learn the playbook, let me get these practice reps, let me learn from a future Hall of Famer, you know, and ask questions. I think that really benefited him, because you saw early on in his playing career in the NFL, there were some questionable moments just because he was inexperienced, but then he kind of settled back in. It's the same way that I feel about his backup right now.
NFL overreaction or reality? If you were the Cowboys, you would give Javonte Williams a 3-year, $21 million extension.
Reality.
Ooh, I like it.
I would do it for two reasons. Jerry keeps on talking about all the spread room that they have with the salary cap, which is still one of my favorite phrases ever, because, you know. But if we're going to do that, if we're going to use that and keep using that as a crutch, I want to actually do something with it. And it is true. You mentioned a couple times already today that
we did the math.
We did the experiment like 2 weeks ago. It is very possible to open up some very usable money. But the other side of me, just as a selfish fan of the team, I am so sick of asking who our running back is every year.
Right.
I miss prime Ezekiel Elliott. I miss when we knew that Darren McFadden was one of the more underrated running backs in the league, and he was consistent. I miss all of those things, and I'm envious of teams like the Ravens and Philadelphia that know they have a true workhorse at running back, and there is a true answer. But I will digress. Being the Panthers and having like four decent running backs on the team sounds kind of fun too, because 1 week Rico Dowdle goes off for almost 200 yards. The next week he's getting 30% of the snaps. It's kind of chaotic, but hey, I like having the central focus on one guy.
3 for 21 for Javonte with, let's just say, like $18 million guaranteed. Overreaction or reality, you would do that.
I'm going to say reality. I would do it as well, and I'll propose another point that Alec didn't bring up. It's difficult to find as good of a runner as Javonte Williams, who will also get his nose dirty in the pass protection aspect of the game. And I think the older Dak Prescott gets, you want to keep him clean as much as possible. And if you can get that good of value out of a running back who can get you 5-6 yards on first down pretty consistently, in the way that I think Shoddy's a really good run-scheming play caller, I think he create holes for him, and if he can still, you know, show that he's got the legs. I'm a little worried about the two injuries and how that's going to kind of linger on him throughout the length of that 3-year contract. But for the value, $7 million for a guy that's probably going to get you 1,000 yards every year and do really good in pass pro, I think that's a steal.
NFL overreaction or reality? The Bengals should trade Joe Burrow. We talked about this in the break because he sounded miserable. Whoa. He said it had nothing to do with Cincinnati. You could make the argument that even full-time healthy Joe Burrow is not going to be enough to bail them out. Their defense is just as bad, if not worse, than the Cowboys. Overreaction or reality? The Bengals should trade Joe Burrow.
There's so many layers to this that just lead me to a question mark, but for the sake of the question, I'm going to say for fun, reality. And the reason I say that is because your defense is more than one or two guys away from being good.
Sure.
And you are just wasting the talent and the availability of one Joe Burrow. I would maximize his value now and say we need more help than he can provide, and that is to no fault of his own. So you do the right thing by him and say, we know things aren't great. We're going to even let you have some input in where you go, even. We'll try to make it happen wherever you want to go and see, as long as it's not a rival, and preferably in the NFC if I'm the Bengals. But the reason it gets so messy for me and it leads to more of an overarching question mark is the money that they have invested outside of him in T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. Then they feel left in the dark, and they feel left behind too. So I know they wouldn't be thrilled.
Well, the good and terrible news for Joe Burrow is the betting odds say that the favorite to land him, if he is moved, is the New York Giants.
Gross.
Overreaction, which is confusing in and of itself. Overreaction or reality for you then, Jacob? It's time for the Bengals to trade Joe Burrow.
Man, I'll tell you what, if the Bengals can – I'm going to go reality also for fun because I want to propose a package. If the Bengals can find a way to get, like, two or three first-round picks along with Jackson Dart, I would probably do it because the last thing you want in that trade is you want to be you don't want to be left in no man's land with a quarterback. You're going to need a young quarterback, whether it's, like, I don't know, a trade to the Vikings. If you believe that you can turn J.J. McCarthy into a great player and you get him in return – that would be interesting. He would go from one really good LSU receiver to another, and I think it'd be a lot of fun to shake it up. As long as they don't trade him to my division, I'm all for it.
And they would. I mean, the Giants right now are in line to have the number two pick. So
yeah, they'd have that too.
They can make that happen. Maybe they love Dante more. Don't know. All right, overreaction or reality? The Giants should have tried to lose to the Raiders.
It's a reality. Again, it goes back to the idea that if you are a fan of the team, and really if you care about the long-term future of the team at all, you should not be winning games, especially in that one where it is essentially the toilet bowl, where it's the worst of the worst, and it has major implications on your draft position. I wouldn't have watched the game, but I would have totally respected it if both teams said starting quarterback out, number one receiver out, and basically any expensive player that they still have left on their team, you say go ahead and collect a check, you're good. Wouldn't have watched the game, but I would have respected the hell out of both of them showing up and not trying.
I feel like the Raiders kind of not tried, but
they definitely did.
what say you, Jacob?
Well, I mean, the Raiders don't try even with all their starters in.
That's
a
good point.
I don't know. I think the number one pick always comes down to the worst team in football, and I don't think that's the Giants. I think if they would have found a way to lose that game and get it, it would have been a steal. With that being said, I think it would have been a lot of fun to see what the Giants could have done, because it's like, it's not one of those Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels drafts where if you trade the top pick, you're going to get an absolute haul. Now, you might get a pretty respectable haul for Fernando Mendoza, yeah, or like you said, Dante Moore. But I think they would have kept the pick. Hot take. I think they would have kept the pick, and they would have taken Arvell Reese, and they would have made that defensive line even nastier.
Okay, bonus question then. Overreaction or reality? In the next 5 years, there will be some sort of NFL draft lottery.
Ooh.
This year feels particularly egregious. And maybe they're all just terrible. They're breaking some.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You know, the Titans are breaking in young quarterback and everything like that, but
I'm going to go overreaction and say more like 10 years.
Okay, but you could see it on the horizon.
Yes, I think we are going to get to a point where I feel like teams are getting really bad about opening their mouths about certain things, too, and you're finding teams getting punished for stuff. You know, the whole thing with the Giants, to bring them back up, Brian Daboll running into the tent trying to save his quarterback from concussion protocol, and how they handled that, and the investigation found that, oh yeah, they broke plenty of rules. But like, teams are just getting more and more undisciplined, and I think someone is going to get even worse than the Raiders this year at hiding it. Because I think the Raiders do have that internal memo of, we don't care what the result is at this point. It's new front office leadership. It's a coach that probably won't be there next year. We do not care. And I think we're going to get to a point where the league is going to say, we're tired of teams not caring, and we're not going to reward them for not caring.
I think Alec brought up a really, really good point about, it's going to get to a point, or when does it get to a point where teams are just really bad at hiding it? I think it's going to be really interesting what happens next year if Arch Manning balls out and wins the Heisman. I think you're going to see a lot of teams that are going to blatantly tank. And, I mean, if they do a poor enough job hiding it, I think it's absolutely a reality.
One more. Overreaction or reality? I know I'm going to lose this fight. You now appreciate and respect the talents of Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is the first quarterback in NFL history to have back-to-back 13-win seasons on two different teams. In fact, the only quarterbacks that have even done it are Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Brett Favre, all Hall of Famers. I'm not saying, obviously, that Sam Darnold is going to the Hall of Fame, but overreaction or reality, you now appreciate and respect the talents of Sam Darnold.
You know, Kevin, I appreciate the work that you do in gathering numbers and trying to force agendas on me about quarterbacks, especially because, you know, I get very heated about quarterbacks and very pointed in my opinions. But shout out Dylan Gabriel. You still suck at football. I have to go overreaction here because I respect the body of work. I don't respect the talent. I think he's a product of a very good system that fits around him. You've
even
seen it
two
before.
Different systems?
Yes, okay. Because I think that certain ideologies, it's a copycat league. I think that Seattle and their staff saw what worked with him in Minnesota and said, we can do that too.
Okay.
We can replicate that to some degree, and they're doing a great job of it. So I'm not even trying to diss the guy on a serious note. I think it's more credit to the staff. I think they've just handled him perfectly.
Jacob, it feels like I might be fighting a losing battle. Overreaction or reality? You appreciate and respect the talents of Sam Darnold.
Yeah, it's a losing battle. I'm going to go overreaction. Oh, I mean, we saw this movie last year. He's going to find a way to win 13 games and lose the last one, and he's going to be in a road playoff game as a team that's been one of the best teams in football all year, and prime Sam Darnold's going to show up and throw five interceptions to J.C. Horn and the Carolina Panthers defense and find a way to lose a game he should have won.
You know what? I think you guys have pushed me now to start rooting for the Seahawks in the playoffs. Just so he can be like, in your face! But I get your point. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway. It's time for the Combo Platter Present Edition. Give us a sports opinion, maybe about Sam Darnold. And then, what was the worst present you or someone in your family got for Christmas? And why was it a trampoline? Next on the Fan.
Johnston shot. He ripped it in. He scores. The chaos ends in perfection.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm hoping we get some stars' opinions during this. It's time for the Combo Platter, 877-881-1053. This is going to be the present edition. Give us a sports opinion, and then what was the worst present you or someone in your family got for Christmas? And I mentioned the trampoline. Getting the trampoline as a gift is amazing. Putting the trampoline together is not amazing. Those gloves they give you to try to hook some of those things on, they don't work well enough, and it's a giant pain until maybe you get the one specific tool that you probably should have had to begin with and then put the trampoline together. I'm just saying, theoretically. So getting a trampoline as a gift is awesome. Putting it together, the worst. Who would like to start? Alec? You? Jacob? Me? Would you like me to go to the fan text? What do you think?
You know what? I'll bat lead off here because I have a fresh new sports opinion that was formulated during the break. And no, I promise, Kevin, this is for you and only you. It's not about Dylan Gabriel's fiance. Yes, I was complaining about
her really
in the break.
Like Dylan Gabriel.
I just really don't. And half of it's not even his fault. Sports opinion. Gentlemen, after some information I saw online earlier during the break, I think the Mavericks might be playing this thing right with Anthony Davis. I think they might be. I saw Tim McMahon, friend of the morning show, on the Hoop Collective just minutes ago, was discussing the Anthony Davis' future and what a timeline for a move could look like and all of that. And he did mention that the Mavericks are trying to work out a deal with the Atlanta Hawks. They are. But there's one holdup, and it was not the holdup that I expected. The Mavericks do not want Trae Young to be involved in the trade, which, yes, from a team structure point, I know that makes sense and everything. I didn't think Trae Young was ever in the conversation in a trade package for Anthony Davis. So he followed that up by saying that the Mavs are, or the Hawks rather, are looking for the exit ramp, quote unquote, for Trae Young after not
should.
The extension issues that they had and everything. He said that was pretty telling about how the two sides feel about each other, and they don't want him on the team anymore. But you got Kyrie Irving, who is on the mend and going to rejoin the team at some point in 2026. So they want to stick with him. They want to continue building with him, which I agree 100%. I think Cooper Flagg could learn a lot from Kyrie Irving, and I think he's the right guy for this situation. I do not want to add Trae Young into this mix. It makes the roster even uglier and weirder than it already is, even if you do remove Anthony Davis from the conversation. So, all that being said, I think the Mavs might be playing this thing out the right way right now after getting that information.
Yeah, spoiler alert, and we can dive more into this tomorrow. Reese Hoshea, two expiring contracts and a first-round pick. Now, it is true that one of those expiring contracts will be KP. I'm going to need you to just accept that for the next several months. It's means to a bigger end. It's going to be okay, but we can figure that out. But yes, Trae Young has long been one of my sports nemesis, and not having him here in Dallas would be tremendous because he's a really good passer, but he's not good at much of anything else. He's one of the worst defenders in the league. And for a so-called shooter, he's not good at shooting, which is a weird thing that I've never quite understood because Trae Young could make a three-pointer occasionally from almost half court. Well, you know what? He occasionally almost makes a three-pointer from a lot of places because he shoots 35% from three, below league average. He's a terrible shooter even inside the arc at 43%. He's a volume scorer who he's the person who they're like, oh yeah, Trae Young had 27 points on 26 shots. Like, you don't need that here whatsoever. So I like that they're like, no, 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 good.
Then Christmas gift, the worst one. Honestly, and I'm saying this, I'm not covering for anybody. I think everybody in the family did very, very well this year. But my sister loves to run bits. I sometimes wonder if me and her like switched college majors at some point because she does all the textbook, you know, office work and stuff. And yet she runs all the pranks and all the bits and is unserious. So there's a backstory to this. Back when we were younger, there was a McDonald's like Happy Meal toy thing that they were doing where it was little Beanie Babies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of all the McDonald's characters. I had the full set except for one, Grimace. I was missing Grimace. And my sister got him the second she realized that I was missing Grimace, and she flaunted the fact that she had the Grimace Beanie Baby and I didn't. So I took matters into my own hands and I stole it when she wasn't home.
Oh my goodness.
And I hid it in my bedroom. And obviously she realized because she was so proud of it, and I got in trouble and I had to give it back. So for Christmas, she said, hey, this one right here, open this one last. And I was like, okay. I open it up and it's a Funko Pop of Grimace. And she says, see, you finally have your own. It's not as cool as mine though. I'm like, you're 27, and we're still doing this?
Oh, man, that is kind of a funny bit.
Yeah, so
I'm sorry for you, but that's a funny bit.
I look at it, and I just kind of clench my fist every time, you know, like Arthur. Like, every time I see it, I'm just like, it's funny, but it's not funny. Like, come on, you knew how much Grimace meant to me.
I want that as a drop. From the 407, the Dallas Stars are the most exciting team in the Metroplex. Cosign. The worst gift I got were car mats for a Chevy. And I drive a Kia. I love that. I don't know. Because on the surface, you might think that you didn't love getting car mats, but that might be like the one thing that you want. You're like, man, I'm feeling good about my ride. This will complete it. And it's not even for the right. So that's unfortunate. From the 3-2-1, I love it. Sports opinion, Sam Darnold will be the Super Bowl MVP.
What are you doing?
I didn't even send that in. And the worst present I got was my parents announcing their divorce on Christmas. Good night. That ratcheted up so much that from the wrong floor mats for your car. Man, we just, all right. I wasn't prepared for that, but thank you. Thank you very much for sharing. All right, Jake. Would you to go next?
Yeah, my sports take, and this actually stems from something that me, Alec, and Aiden spoke about in pre-show. So I saw a tweet the other day from a Washington Commanders fan that said, trade Jaden Daniels for 3 first-round picks and go sign Malik Willis, which led me to this train of thought. I think, actually, I know, that Jaden Daniels in under 1 year went from the class of his draft class to the 4th best quarterback in his draft class.
Whoa!
Fiery!
I think he's been surpassed by, clearly, Drake May, Bo Nix, and now Caleb Williams.
Is that the order, too?
Probably, yeah. I'd put Caleb. Caleb and Bo are probably tied talent-wise, but I think Bo's got more winning pedigree than Caleb does, so I'll give him the nod at number 2.
Woo! Spicy. I like it.
And then my, I'm gonna go with my own Christmas present. You know, I don't want to be the entitled kid. My grandparents did not have to get me a Christmas gift. They didn't. It was very nice that they thought of me.
Oh no.
But popcorn seasoning was not the thing that I thought would be under the tree for me. Now, granted, it was snickerdoodle popcorn seasoning.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And my mother did just adopt the make her own popcorn with avocado oil because we don't do seed oils anymore.
Wow.
So, yeah, popcorn seasoning was my worst Christmas present.
Under the tree and not in the stocking. Like that sounds like a stocking stuffer there. Like,
yeah.
That... Wow. And like, it was wrapped up. Like, was it in a box or was it just the bottle?
It wasn't even one of those big bottles, brutal. You know? Like, it fit in the palm of my hand. So it was like, I mean, I could get three or four bags of popcorn probably out of that. But, yeah, I mean, I would have put it. And I love my grandmother. The wrapping was terrible.
Wow!
Keep going!
Holy crap!
Keep going!
This is bad.
You hate their clothes and the way they have their hair and stuff, right?
Yeah, this sounds like Euphoria. Jeez.
Whew. Okay, man, that was some fire right there.
I love that.
From the 972, the Super Bowl champion will be a surprise team. Now, I'm intrigued by this. Does that mean a surprise team like going back to the start of the season or from right now? Because there are some teams, like if you tell me the Patriots win the Super Bowl now, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I could see that. At the beginning of the year, I'd have been like, there is no way in hell. But I could definitely see a surprise team winning the Super Bowl. And then they got a Mavs beanie. It was the worst gift. Oh. I mean, it definitely sounds like Jacob's was worse.
Oh, yeah. I like how Jacob's gift is going to be the barometer for everything now. Like, hey, at least it wasn't snickerdoodle popcorn seasoning.
I mean, the only thing that's going to beat me out now is Cole, so.
Oh, well, you keep talking like that. We could get there. From the 956, Kevontae Turpin won't be a Cowboy by the end of next season. Whoa. I feel this one. Worst gift, I got a t-shirt that was 2 sizes too small. Thanks for reminding me I got fat. Man. Aww. Yeah, it's tricky, even if it's somebody that you see every single day and spend your life with. It is tricky buying clothes for anybody because of the differences in sizes from merchant to merchant or manufacturer to manufacturer. That's tough.
I was always on the end of I would get clothes that were way too big for me. And, you know, growing up, it was always, oh, hold it up so we can see it, like what it looks like on you. And so I would just kind of, you know, for a couple seconds, hold it up against me and be like, yeah, it's great. Thanks. Appreciate it. When I knew that I could fit it maybe in 8 years.
Yeah.
Maybe if we're being generous. But, hey, a lot of that stuff fits now. So maybe it was just they were never wrong.
Long game.
They were just early.
Yeah. You could play a long game from the 858. Sports opinion, the Raiders will turn things around and win another Super Bowl before the Cowboys do.
Oh.
Look, I would be inclined to listen to any team in the NFL winning a Super Bowl before the Cowboys do. And then this one's tough. I got a Padres shirt for Christmas this year from my in-laws, but I'm not a Padres fan. I thanked her and gave it to my mom later. Hold on. I have follow-up questions. Is your mom a Padres fan then, and she was excited to get it? I have questions. From the 469, the Dallas Wings will get a number one pick again next year. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yes, that,
so that would be three
please.
Straight. And my worst gift is Kevin saying, I will see you next year. Here's a fun thing. I don't know if you know this about me, Jacob. If there is anybody in your life right now that you're going to see in like a week, and they go, hey, see you next year, your New Year's resolution should be cutting that person out of your life, all right? No, I've had enough of this, and I've already been barraged with this. The New Year starts on Thursday.
What?
So if you see somebody like now, and you're going to, look, if you're not going to see them again for a year, I get it. But if they're just doing a bit, which they probably are, and they'll see you next Wednesday, I will tell them that I'll see them next Tuesday. Except it will be you. You get what I'm saying. But actually, I won't, because I'll never see them again, because I want to cut that person out of my life.
So in theory, at the end of the show on Wednesday, when I tell you, see you next year.
Yeah.
Is that going to be the last time I produce this show? Or
yeah, or maybe any show. Watch those hours.
Wow.
As they dissipate. Okay. That's,
politics!
That's too far. That's too far. From the 682, this one's amazing. Jacksonville can make a real Super Bowl push. Actually, I do agree with that. We'll probably talk about Jacksonville a little bit more tomorrow. It wasn't my present, but my grandmother, my grandmother sent my 15-year-old son a Victoria's Secret gift card for $50.
That had to be a mistake, right?
Or your grandparents are really progressive.
You know what? 15-year-old Alec probably would have respected it.
Because, like, I don't want that if you're like, buy something for your little girlfriend. I'm like, no.
Yeah, this is about me.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
So, yeah. From the 254, sports opinion, buddy got me an A&M hoodie after they lost against Miami. I wanted to burn it. I hope you got at least a discount or something. You know what? To really make that day the worst, you know what I did before that A&M Miami game?
Oh, no.
I went to a funeral, and I'm not kidding about that.
Oh, jeez.
So that day sucked.
So you watched two funerals?
Yes, pretty much. And then they said they'd put together 10 trampolines before having to put together their daughter's playset again. It had over 400 pieces, and that's not counting the good-sized box full of bolts, nuts, and screws, man. That is, we've lost the Christmas Eve of just enjoying. It's about building presents. Like, I'm a freaking elf in the workshop or something.
Yeah, see, I don't have to worry about any of that. Because, Kevin, I don't know if you knew this. I don't have kids. So
I was aware of that.
Okay, good. You know me well.
Man, I really want to say what the Alec weather forecast is, though. But I feel like, I will save that for off-air, or if you come and see us at Taco Bueno off of Collins in Arlington on Friday, I will tell you my Alec weather forecast.
And you might see why he's making that joke on Friday, too.
Oh, man! I freaking love it. And so my sports opinion is...
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
The Mavericks will get a trade done for Anthony Davis to the Atlanta Hawks, especially now that we heard it will not include Trae Young. And then the worst present I think anybody in my family gets is Brandon gets Apple gift cards. Brandon does not use Apple products. And the same people always send it to him, but we waited too long to say something. Like, we should have said something after the first time and like, hey, this was nice. He's an Android person. He doesn't, you know, but we forgot. And so the next year they sent it again. And I think at that point we were just too cowardly to bring it up. Yeah. And now it's been happening for like 6 years. So we can't go, yeah, he doesn't use Apple products and you've been wasting these gift cards. So usually what ends up happening is I make a trade with Brandon and we use it to pay for Apple TV. But I feel really bad because we always know that's going to be the gift card and we were too cowardly to say anything about it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we're going to switch what we're doing and fire up some baseball nuggets, everybody. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about Andrew Heaney. Andrew Heaney announced his retirement, and he probably holds a fond spot in a lot of Rangers fans' hearts. He had a 2-year stint with the Rangers, was a part of them winning the World Series. He had his first 10-win campaign during the regular season in 2023, and then also got the win in Game 4 of the World Series through 5 innings of 1-run ball, and that was the game that made it feel, I think, to a lot of the Metroplex that the series was over. I realize that 3-1, that most certainly did not mean the series was over, but that is kind of the vibe and feel I had after that game. So shout out to Andrew Heaney. He did a lot for this franchise.
He did, and he crossed the 10-year mark for service time, so he had a good run. And all I can think about when I see him is that game that you mentioned and Creed. That's all I can think about when I see him. He is the founding father of our rallying cry of
Higher. I forgot that, honestly.
Yeah, he was the founder of that being played in the clubhouse to rally the troops and get ready to win the franchise's first World Series. But on top of that, he's also an incredible dude. So enjoyed the very few conversations that I got to have with him. But again, like a few of those players on that team, a signing that you're like, oh,
yeah,
okay, cool. Yeah. They signed somebody. And then he ended up being one of the most consistent guys for you down the stretch and did anything you asked him to do. So he is forever great in my heart.
Now, the Rangers made a different pitching move. They picked up Nabil Chrismot. He saw some time late in the season last year for the Diamondbacks. So the 31-year-old made 5 starts over the last half of the season and had a 2.61 ERA over 31 innings. So you're like, hey, that's not bad at all. Going into the final weekend of the season, then he got lit up by the Dodgers, 7 runs in 3 innings. And like I just told you, he didn't pitch a lot. So he finished the year with a 3.71 ERA. But the Rangers went ahead and signed him to a minor league deal. We've talked about this a lot in the offseason. These are probably the continual kind of deals that you're going to see the Rangers dabble in. Let's go from that to the question was posed by MLB.com. Who is your number one bounce back candidate for the Rangers next season? And the reason why I think that's so important is because Chris Young has talked so much about how they got to improve from within, improve from within. So is there a player that you're like, hey, this is my leading candidate if we're going to improve from within?
Ooh.
There are plenty of options.
Yeah, and that's why I'm...
Unfortunately.
That's why I'm like, I could give you probably four, but I'm trying to limit it to one. I would go... I'd say Josh Jung.
Okay.
Because he got sent back to the minors. Like, that was emblematic enough for me that something has to change, and maybe the leash that he has gotten a lot shorter than people may have realized, because we did see, again, going back to that 23 season, we saw some incredible things, and early on in his career, he flashed a lot defensively. It seemed like he was doing a lot more than we expected him to do.
Yes.
It seemed like he was answering to the big moment at the plate. His plate discipline was good early on, and he kind of strayed away from all of it.
Yeah.
And that trip to the minors seemed like it did kind of spark something in him, like a bit of a wake-up call. And I hope that he is, because remember, before the season started last year, he tried to be the leader.
Yes.
Of the team, and he had those little coolers filled with goodies and gifts at everybody's locker in the clubhouse. And he said, yeah, I'm doing that because I'm trying to take leadership of this team, and I'm trying to be the guy that people can lean on. So it's the same thing that we talked about with Marcus Semien. It's hard to be, you know, I'm the leader when you're not producing.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for his sake, and I'm hoping for the team chemistry's sake, that he ends up bouncing back, so people, maybe even within the clubhouse, kind of take him a little bit more seriously and say, hey, he's not the most experienced guy, he's not a well-traveled vet, but he knows what he's talking about and he performs every night.
Well, MLB.com also selected Josh Jung as their pick to click and most likely to turn around. But you do see multiple other suggestions from the 903, Kamar Rocker and Evan Carter. From the 817, Joc Pederson can't be worse than the way he started last year. Yes, one of the worst modern offensive history seasons in baseball history. From the 361, Evan Carter, Jake Berger comes up as well. And I'll probably steer away from Joc Pederson because he would have to be a whole lot better, I think, for it to make a particularly positive impact on this team. So I think I'll go with you on Josh Jung until I totally pivot on my opinion and say, you know what? I'm going Evan Carter. All right, so I really was going to say Josh Jung, and Josh Jung, if he can turn it around, that could be great for this team. But I keep thinking, because somebody goes, can we just go back to the 2023 season? I keep thinking about Evan Carter in the playoffs in that 2023 season, and that's probably what gets me in trouble, because that player might not exist over the span of an entire season. But I'm going to go with Evan Carter, but I totally understand and appreciate your vote for Josh Jung, and obviously MLB.com does as well. Bryce Harper, man, he is embracing the petty, and I got to admit, I appreciate this. He posted a video, I believe he posted it, to TikTok of him hitting in a shirt that said, not elite. Now, this, of course, goes back to the really perplexing statement that the Phillies president, Dave Dombrowski, made a few months ago. And it's not that I disagree with Dombrowski saying he's a quality player, he's an all-star, he just didn't have an elite season like he has in the past, and then insinuating he doesn't know if he can be elite anymore. I'm not saying he's wrong, but as the president of that team, that feels like a really terrible thing to say out loud to the media. So Bryce Harper, he's embracing it, and maybe he'll have a hell of a year because of it.
I like it, and you know me, I love pettiness, and for I sure. love absurd levels of it, and I think this is borderline absurd. It's not quite absurd, but it's borderline, because the fact that he addressed it without addressing it, but he was really addressing it because it clearly bothered him. But it amazes me to no end when leadership figures like that in sports say the quiet part out loud and expect nothing to happen. Nobody to talk about it. Nobody to get offended in the process. It's like, those are the things that you say in like arbitration hearings, right?
Right.
That's where you say, you know, these 14 players that make $2 million less than you were way better than you. Why should I give you that money? You say that in a closed room, you know, in a private environment. You don't say that out loud and let the media get a hold of it, because you know what we like to do? We like to cause messes.
Yes.
So the noise gets louder and louder. That it still blows my mind that he said that.
So let's talk about a player that was formerly in the Texas Rangers organization, Nick Torres. He was with the Rangers in 2018 at the AAA level, but he has since been away from MLB-affiliated baseball. He was a fourth-round pick in 2014, but most recently, he's been starring in the Mexican League, where he was the 2025 MVP. Since 21, he has been hitting .343 with an OPS of 1.025. And that is the reason that Nick Torres has now been signed by the New York Yankees.
Ooh. I always love those turnaround stories.
For sure.
Because, you know, you see people do that a lot. They fall out of the majors and they go play independent ball and whatever. And some of those players you can look at and say, dude, it's time.
Yeah.
Give it up. But then guys like Nick Torres say, screw you. I know what I'm capable
right.
of. And I will show you and I will claw my way back to the majors. I love stories like that because it shows just how incredible the game of baseball specifically is, how many avenues there are to show what you've got. So that's why I, at this point, it's hard for me to ever doubt anybody that does go play international ball or does fall out of the majors and say, no, I'm going to make it back, because yes, you have a good chance, because these other organizations, they care enough to help you get back there. It's pretty cool.
He hasn't been with an MLB affiliate since he was 25, and now he's 32.
Wow.
It is incredible. And the last affiliate he was with, like I said, Texas Rangers, back in 2018. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we had to shuffle some things around, so it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus what would you describe as an overwhelming donut smell? Next on The Fan. Whoa.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.